like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. This won't be the first episode you hear in 2026, but it's the first one I'm recording in 2026, and it's always nice to start off the year with someone who's a known quantity on the show. It's been a while since the guest on this episode was actually on the podcast, and it's in a different context, but I'm happy to have you back, and I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Yeah, I'm Chris Randina. I've been playing in bands in Winnipeg for a lot of years now. And I'm sort of embarking on my solo journey at this point. I've got an album coming out.
Cool. And that's obviously why we're talking now, is you have this record coming out. And I think the people who have been listening to the show for a long time might recognize your name and voice and face from being a member of Gold Mountain, which you were on the show, I think, three times over the years talking about that band. And going back, you know, probably about a decade now almost, what is sort of the timeline on when you switched to this solo project? Because Gold Mountain, I think, kind of ended a little while back, right?
I think we broke up either right at the end of 2022 or right at the beginning of 2023.
Okay.
And I guess I'll just launch into it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I took a little time off to sort of, figure out I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So I'd, you know, what my place in music was going to be, whether I still wanted to be playing music and what capacity I wanted to be playing music, if that was still going to be a viable option for me and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then I even did a thing where I made a little deal with myself where I took my guitar to a pawn shop and they give you a month to come back and get it or whatever. And then they put it on the shelves or whatever and they sell it. So I said to myself, like, I'm going to take my guitar to this pawn shop and I'm going to leave it there for the month. And if in a month I still decide I want to play music, I'll come back and get it.
Yeah.
And in that month, eventually I did sort of, I found myself starting to find other ways to write and other ways to do music and stuff. And so it was kind of just like, it was something that I felt compelled to do. And so I realized that I couldn't quit. I didn't want to quit, but I just had to sort of figure out a new approach and stuff. And so gradually after that, I started writing songs again, got the idea to do a full length album, which has always been my biggest ambition in terms of being a songwriter, is to have a full album.
Yeah.
That kind of goes from one place, from track one to the last track, and spend about a year writing it. And then I don't know how much time recording and mixing it, but a long time. And it's just about ready to come out of the oven at this point.
Right on. And that's interesting you mentioned the full length thing too, because Gold Mountain had a number of releases, but they were very heavy on the EP, or almost like even shorter than an EP kind of thing. It would be like three songs or whatever at a time. You said that, you know, a second ago, that this is something you've always wanted to do, is do the full length. Was there a reason why that previous band didn't do full lengths? Were you guys like actively pursuing doing short releases? Or is that just how it ended up working out?
It was a conscious choice. I think that at the time, we were thinking that with, what was going on, everything that was going on with streaming, that it would be better and we'd be able to get stuff out faster and reach people faster by just doing singles or EPs.
Sure.
And there's five of us in that band and, you know, we all had jobs and stuff and whatever. So, you know, writing a full album is something that takes a really long time, and then recording it takes a long time, and There's all those costs involved in those kinds of things. So it was a big project that we always kind of had, we always wanted to, but just never really got around to it and stuff.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned the streaming thing too, and it's interesting because I think, you know, now in 2026, that's even more prominent than it would have been back when you were doing Gold Mountain. So what is that sort of process like? I mean, you know, going into this, that you made this record, you probably would like people to listen to start to finish, you know, in order, in the way it's sequenced, but you also know that people probably aren't going to be doing that because of the way it's consumed. So does that change sort of your approach to making this record, knowing that it's going to be probably listened to piecemeal?
Not at all, actually. It was, the whole thing of making a record, I know that, you know, I would want to listen to, and like, you know, some of my best experiences in terms of music are listening, listening to those albums that are, you know, great start to finish, or maybe not even start to finish, but you like start to finish. And so that aspect didn't bother me. I knew that on that level or on many levels, this was going to be a project that I was kind of doing for myself as a project.
Okay.
And as far as the other stuff goes, just making sure that the songs were good enough so that any one or two songs could come off the album and act as just like if somebody just wants to listen to that song or if they like that song, then that's fine too. And that's probably what's going to happen if anything happens at all, right?
Most likely that's how people are going to do it. So, I mean, listening to this record, it's not out at the time we're talking here, but by the time people hear this, it'll be imminent, or if they hear it years from now, it'll be, you know, long available. The first thing I thought of when listening to it, which is probably natural, is that it sounds like Gold Mountain, which makes sense because you were the voice of that band and, you know, you sing the way you sing. And I think that you write the way you write too. A lot of the songs kind of had similar stylistically. But when I heard solo album, when you mentioned you're doing a record, I wasn't sure what I was thinking. And solo album to me often, I think, maybe not unfairly, gets considered, people think there's an acoustic guitar and you're sitting here just kind of, you know, doing this very stripped down thing. But this is not bad at all. I mean, there's a lot happening instrumentally and musically on this record that is not necessarily just some, you know, guy in a guitar bearing his soul kind of vibe.
Yeah. I don't know if I would be interested in doing a full album of just sort of I think it takes a lot of I really have a lot of respect for those artists that can play quietly and allow listeners to sort of find them.
Yeah.
And come to them. And they play like really nakedly and plaintively. And I don't know if I'd have that kind of self-assurance to do at least an entire album of that kind of stuff. I like having arrangements and instrumentation. And also this was an opportunity to do, like, when I started out thinking of making a full length, the original idea was, maybe this is the last thing I ever do in terms of music or something. And I kind of want to, you know, throw the kitchen sink at it. Basically, so I didn't, you know, it would have been a waste to kind of just do a guy and a guitar album from that perspective anyway.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's interesting that you say it sounds like Gold Mountain, because I think some of it's certainly, like, there's a lot of tracks that I listen to where I certainly think it sounds like Gold Mountain, but there's others where I don't think I would have been, I would have written the type of song that it was with Gold Mountain.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, you know, felt like maybe a bunch of that full band would have, there was room for a full band. A lot of the tracks don't really have like a lot of big, most of them don't have big solos or big kind of instrumental showcases or something like that. And when you're in a band, everything is a kind of, it has to be a democracy, right? And everyone has to have their time to shine and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question. Yeah. I wanted to have I had a lot of ideas and I was writing songs that felt like they needed fleshing out and they needed to be more substantial. And so I arranged with, there's a host of different kind of local musicians on the album contributing things. Like Joe Curtis was on the album.
Oh, cool.
I was playing guitar on one of the songs. There's I have a band that I'm playing with live now called The Woke Mop. And it's Chris from, I'm going to name drop a little bit here.
Sure,
that's
before,
Chris from The Rippers and Jamie Buckborough, who anybody who's like goes to shows in Winnipeg has probably seen around. And Carrie from Park Alleys, he's the sound guy there and stuff. And so we got together, and that was the first couple of songs that we did, is we got this group together, and I had these songs that we had written, Night Shift and I'm Okay. And we played them as a band. We enjoyed our time together and stuff. And that was sort of what led to playing live again, which I've only just started doing in the past few months.
Cool.
I'm out with the album.
They say folks like you and me, we ain't cover model stars. Now I got a job on the killing floor, I'll be home when the day gets dark. Lord knows it's a long road and it's so hard to get it right. When the last of the light is dying, you're still out there running for your life. Once our love was reckless, now I feel so insecure. And once our love was sacred, now we ain't got love no more. That we're broken like a river and going nowhere like the wind. Lord knows it ain't that easy, it's just the lucky ones that survive. Because we're only rich in virtue and these gates are locked from the other side. Once our love could come and go, now there's chains across these doors. Once our love was Salem, now we ain't got love no more. Oh, well, baby, that's what you get for living a life of crime. And you don't have to be worried about going to the county jail this time for all of your famous last words at the end of the line. I never saw myself as the villain through my own eyes. Well, baby, that's what you get for living a life of crime. And you don't have to be worried about going to the county jail this time for all of your famous last words at the end of the line. Well, hey now, it's just a fact that I'm bound to pay for my ride for all I've done to hurt you, living a life of
Well, I think that maybe part of the reason that the first thing that came to mind was it sounds like Gold Mountain is because Gold Mountain was one of those bands that I always kind of had difficulty pinning down genre-wise. And I think this one is the same too. There's some stuff that, you know, definitely has more of a singer-songwriter feel. There's some stuff that's straight ahead rock. There's crunchier stuff. There's a lot of songs that have, you know, the instrument, a lot more instruments happening. There's keyboards. There's all kinds of things floating around in there. So do you have... the worst question possible, but do you have a way of defining this? Like, what do you consider this record if you had to put it into a genre?
Yeah. feel like you ask me this question every time.
I think I ask everyone this question every time because it's a hard question, right? It's not easy anymore. Like it used to be very simple.
So like, I remember it's lurking around on YouTube somewhere. There's an interview with, I think that Queen was a band that, I'm not comparing myself to Queen, but Queen was a band that if you listen to their albums,
yeah,
there's a huge amount of eclecticism in terms of style and instrumentation.
For sure there is, yeah.
And I remember seeing an interview with them probably in their earlier days, and the interviewer kind of asks, you know, how do you define this? Like, what is the genre? It's sort of all over the place and stuff. And you really visibly see Freddie kind of roll his eyes so far back in his head that it, you know, his head kind of almost falls off,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So it's like, I beat myself up about, you know, not being able to define a genre for a lot of years of playing music and stuff. And at this point, like, it doesn't really bother me at all anymore. I think that you could probably put under the heading of maybe indie rock, because indie okay. rock is a genre that you can put a lot of things
under.
It's
a huge umbrella, yeah.
Huge umbrella, yeah. So, because, you know, the album has, it's got country, it's got folk, it's got rock, it's got a little electronic stuff to it. And these are all just like things that I just like as a listener, right? Like, I have a lot of different kinds of things that I like, you know, I love listening to, you know, the older stuff and all the 60s and 70s stuff and whatever. But I'm also into, like, you know, I just got into, you know, K-pop recently, listening okay. to Blackpink and all these kinds of things. And I just think the music is such a big thing. And I'm just not personally that interested, or at least not interested currently, and nor have I been in sort of sticking to one genre. And like you said, I think one of the things that connects it is just my kind of songwriting quirks, and my voice are always this kind of unifying aspect that sort of holds the songs together, hopefully thematically as well.
Yeah,
the songs all kind of like circle the same sort of like cluster of themes and what have you.
Is that deliberate, but, the thematic thing? Is that on purpose, or is that just sort of how these songs came out?
I did start out with a concept that I was going to sort of make an album that's sort of like Cradle to the Grave, like a person, like that span, like it charts the lifetime of a person.
Okay.
You're young, and then you're finding things out, and then you sort of figure out the world a little bit, and you kind of go to war with the world a little, and stuff like that. And I, you know, abandoned that slightly because it was a little bit too constrictive and whatever, but I think elements are still there. Like, it really is just kind of about me trying to tap into universal ideas about what life is and what dealing with life in this world is like,
okay.
and what it's like to like struggle on the inside, what it's like to struggle externally with things like, you know what it's like, you have a job, we yep. all have jobs, you know, what it's like to, and I've watched in real time, as being like a working person, like if I can call myself blue collar, I don't want to talk about my day job necessarily, but you know, I've watched it become more difficult to be a person who works for a living to, you know, exist and get by, over the years. You can really tangibly see how much more challenging it is. So I think that's seeped in a lot and stuff. Yeah. Other, you know, really light, frothy things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah. Nice and breezy. Yeah.
Such fine silk between my fingertips, where the fat of the land boils under the sun. Oh, to be king for a day, for the whole world to be caught up in my sway. I must be number one of all God's children, regrets to all who drown in my way. Now let's get this straight, 'cause you say it don't matter either. than yours who are very well fed. So then let us begin, that we might see how it ends. And together we'll watch the fog come rolling in. Oh, to be a lowly billionaire, I'd round up all my
with the way that you write, do you have sort of an audience in mind when you're writing, or is it strictly, because a lot of people, it seems like it's one of two ways. People write completely personally, and then the way it comes out is appealing to other people. And then there's people who sort of have an idea of who the listener is and who they're sort of delivering the message or the story or whatever to. How do you approach songwriting?
I'm primarily looking for something that, there's something that happens when you're trying to write a song and you're sort of fumbling around trying to find something that works, like something to hang on to.
Yeah.
And sort of build the song around. And for me, it's always just been like you don't know it until it happens. And you just feel it. And it feels like, okay, I can work off of that. I can make something out of this. And I think it has something to do, or at least I tell myself it has something to do with just the universality of, like, we're all basically, facing the same things, and how we deal with it is different. And, you know, the context is different for everybody, you know, but we're all like roughly, you know, up against the same kind of things. Right.
Yeah.
In terms of writing. So, I mean, yeah, that kind of like, so like, themes that are like that, I think everybody on some level can, lyrically, themes that everyone on some level can sort of understand, I think is what I'm typically looking for in terms of like writing something with somebody else in mind. That's really the extent of it.
Okay.
I have to feel sort of confident about what I'm writing about in order for it to come out good, quote unquote.
Well, whatever your version of good is for yourself, right?
Yeah. So that aspect of it is definitely for me. But then, like, I'm a big fan of like pop music and these kinds of things, and not even just pop music, but like, you know, something like Jolene is one of the most quintessential country songs of all time. But everybody likes Jolene
for sure. Yeah, I don't know anyone who doesn't. Yeah,
because it's the melody is great, the lyrics are great. It's just a great song. And so hopefully what I'm going for when I'm writing is that there's enough kind of lift with the lyrics, the music, the melody, all of these things kind of coming together, hopefully to engage anybody who's listening to it. I don't have specifically have like a demographic in mind.
Yeah.
I would probably go crazy if I tried to write specifically to like fit into a certain kind of thing like that. But there's absolutely like the idea where it's like, well, if I can understand this, and if this, you know, moves me in some way, then it must logically move somebody else.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
As unique as we all are, I've said it five different ways in the past, you know, few sentences, but we all kind of understand the same struggles.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that one thing that I as a listener like about your music that I've heard in the past and now with this new record is that I think I first noticed this when I first saw you play live with Gold Mountain, whatever year that was in. And it seems like a lot of your songs have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like they have an emotional swell at some point in the song. I know that's not a unique thing to you, but I feel like you're very good at writing these songs that build to something, and they don't stay there. They eventually drop back off, but there's always seems to be like a very strong peak in a lot of your songs. Not every song, and not every song on this record, but there are certainly some that achieve that, where it's building to something, whether it's, you know, positive emotion, a negative one, whatever it is. That there's like some emotional heft to it. Is that something you do on purpose, or?
Yeah, I think so. It's just part of like, yeah, that's part of like writing the song is where is it going to go?
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going to happen when it gets there? And, that's again, like going back to like, you know, when you feel it, or, you know, when you hear it, I think it's probably similar to when you're like, if you're like, you know, writing a story, or if you're writing a screenplay or something like that. You get the idea, like the sort of the theme reveals itself to you as you're kind of, you know, chipping away at it. And then you just try and chase that down and try and like sort of tell that story in the best way that you can. And I appreciate you saying that. That's very nice of you.
Well, I don't think it's meant to be nice. It's more just an observation, but I'll nice works. But yeah, it just seems like there's always building that happens, and you're like, the songs have a trajectory, which, I mean, a lot of people will do songs that are more flat, if that makes sense, where it's just kind of, you know, point A to point B, and it gets there without too much movement emotionally. But your songs often, not always, have this kind of spike that they follow, and then, you know, come back down. But there's and it's not even necessarily the chorus. A lot of the time people write a song like that, and it'll be the hook that is that big sort of emotional moment. But I think you have other parts in some of your songs where it just kind of that happens, and then the song progresses. But there's always a peak, it seems to me.
Yeah, I mean, you just again, like when you're writing, you just keep sort of trying to build elements on top of each other that are going to make the best version of whatever song you're working on. And I think that's, in terms of writing, what I'm chasing the most is trying to, once I find something that kind of interests me or that works for me, is just trying to, like, you know, really keep kind of working on that and building that up until it becomes the best version that I can make out of it, you know. And so, I mean, I don't know if it's something that I could, like, you know, I've always admired writers like, this is going to sound kind of corny, but I've always admired like really kind of corny artists like like a Neil Diamond or like a Paul McCartney or something like this, because they just seem to know, how to like get the dynamics of a song and make it kind of like move in a really kind of interesting way. But specifically what I like about them is that they seem like guys, if you said, hey, can you write me a song? They would sit down at a piano and write one for you.
Yeah.
Now I can't do that. You know, like I'm writing is a far more unfortunately torturous process for me. So I can't necessarily get to those sort of peaks and valleys like by saying, okay, I'm going to like, you know, make a song that goes up, 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 up. And then here it's going to go. You just find these things as you go.
Right.
And then you just have to be ready to sort of hear it when it's happening and sort of like if something's sort of like, oh, you know, if you hear like a moment that needs a little bit, needs to go in a certain direction, just sort of follow that direction. And, you know, there's dead ends for
yeah.
sure. But that's part of the writing process is that you're just following these ideas. Anything that seems promising, you kind of follow that. And sometimes you hear a dead end and you're like, well, bullshit, you know, throw that in the back burner. Maybe I'll use it later in something else. Or, you know, I think we've got something and keep kind of like, you know, that kind of thing. But that is definitely a way that I write. I'm looking for moments that people are going to hopefully, you know, hear.
Yeah.
And are going to be, you know, dramatic for them and, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
with that whole torturous process of writing, you know, you mentioned earlier right off the top that kind of the way you sort of fell into this solo project with wanting to get restarted into music, and not sure if you know all of that. And then there's been obviously time spent writing the songs and recording them, and now it's you know imminently going to be released. How do you feel about these songs now? Like now that they're in the can, they're gonna come out. You know they're gonna come out. You know you have to play them live. Presumably you want to play them live, but as a songwriter, do you have a bunch of new shit now that is sort of like already?
Oh,
whether it's radically different or not, like, you know, moved on in some way, stylistically, sonically, in terms of the way you write from these songs. These are the ones people are going to hear, but do you have other stuff that's sort of now been sparked by this getting back into it?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just starting to, like, this project just finally kind of like fully wrapped up within the past couple of months, and you know, was just this, like, always, like, you know, pushing a boulder up a hill. And so I've lived with these songs for, you know, the past 2 or 3 years now at this point, in all of their different kind of, you know, versions and iterations. And so I'm only now able to kind of disconnect myself from them. Like, they've been my sole focus for a while now. And I have had other, like, little ideas and stuff, but it's just recently where I've started to sort of in my head chart out, you know, like I said, that this might be the last thing I ever did when I started out. And that's not the case anymore. I don't feel that way at all anymore. I am excited now to do the next thing. And like you were saying before, whatever you're currently doing acts as a springboard in some way for the next thing that you're going to be doing. And I like these songs. I think that most of them, I think all of them are, if not some of the best stuff I've written, definitely you know, take me in places outside my comfort zone that I hadn't explored as a writer before. So the next one is going to have to build off of this new kind of standard that I've set for myself, and we'll begin the process all over again. You know, the whole torturous process will begin back at one, and it'll be one song, and then there'll be two songs, and then eventually, hopefully, it'll be 10, 11, 12 songs. I would like to do another album, another full-length album. It took a really long time, and a lot of that time was time that I spent not doing other things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the next thing is going to be another album. Otherwise, you might not hear from me again for another fucking, you know, 5, 10 years or some shit. But I'm definitely excited to. I am definitely excited to see what comes next, and a little bit scared.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to be, though, right? It's better than just to be overconfident. I mean, you want to have a bit of a bit of nerves about it. I guess maybe like a brother to that question, then, is there a point for you as a writer where you know a song is finished, or are they always works in progress? They're always being tinkered with. Like, could these songs 5 years from now, you know, someone sees you live, be changed drastically from the way they appear on the record? Or are you the type of person who has an endpoint where the song is the song and it's unfuckwithable?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, some songs just feel very done when they're finished. There's kind of nothing else. In fact, I think that a lot of songs, if you keep adding to it, you'll fuck it up.
Yeah, sure.
Like, a song is like, there are some songs that are just done, but then there's other songs on the album, like a song like Outsiders and Aliens, which is, I wanted to be really kind of like, you know, kind of far out and ornate in its instrumentation and stuff, and be really weird. And I mean, I listened to it and I could probably be still tinkering with that, you know, a year or two from now. But then in those cases, you have to essentially decide, okay, well, it's done. So I guess it's different. It depends on the song. And it's also, I think that it's like anybody who writes songs or does anything kind of like creative like that, whatever the medium is, sometimes it comes very easily. And it just presents itself, and it's sort of like it happens. And when it's done, you just know it's done.
Yeah.
And it just feels like, oh yeah, okay, well, that's a song. Like a song like Night Shift is a song where it's just like, I wrote it and it took me not very long. And I was like, okay, well, that's a song. Perfect. You know, that's good. We've done all we need to do here. And I think I've said everything I need to say. I'm really happy with it. And good. But then other songs, you kind of got to, like, you know, you just kind of got to bang away with it.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit more kind of like a little more force. And that can be a bit more challenging. And those are the cases when you do have to at some point decide, like, am I making this better? Or am I just working on it because I don't know how to stop working on it.
Yeah, right. The compulsion to keep tinkering it.
Yeah. And like with the entire album, really, I could, one of the things that I get obsessive with is the idea of like perfection. Even though I don't believe in perfection, when you're working on something and you put a lot into it, there can be that tendency to, want it to be just right. And sometimes it's not going to be just right. And sometimes like the kind of the flaws or the floppy corners and stuff are the things that make it interesting.
Definitely.
And so it's like really, it's like the thing about songwriting is it's just going back to like those other kinds of like writers who can just write a song. Their brain is just wired that way. I think for most people, there's a lot of different ways that it can manifest itself. And if there was a sort of a rule book and a list of steps to follow, you know, everybody would be a great fucking songwriter, you know?
Yeah, it would be meaningless. Being a great songwriter wouldn't matter because everyone could do it. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Like, and part of what makes it so gratifying is that there are no rules. And so when you do manage to sort of accomplish something or achieve something, you feel like you really just like reached up into thin air and grabbed something that didn't exist and then turned it into, you know, something that does exist and maybe even is something that, you know, other people might be interested in,
yeah,
in delving into as well.
For sure.
You know? So it's a big fucking mystery and it's really frustrating and it's gratifying when it works and it's frustrating when it doesn't work. And it's part of just, you know, quote unquote, being an artist, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Following those, like going down those rabbit holes and trying to get out of them, trying to get your ass out of them.
So people who are hearing this when it comes out, it's an imminent record. It's about to be coming out shortly. It's a podcast. Someone could hear it, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Apparently I can't stop making this show, speaking of compulsions. And so what's the best way for people to hear your music? If someone is being introduced to you for the first time on the show, where would you send them to find out what you're up to and hear your stuff?
It's going to be up on all streaming services. I would encourage people, I'm not going to tell people what to do. I would encourage people to find other avenues besides Spotify at the moment to listen to it. But for an artist in my position, who's trying to get, people to listen to their music, there really are only so many options in terms of distribution.
Right.
So it'll be there. If you can listen to it somewhere else, I would strongly encourage you to find it somewhere else, but it'll be up on all streaming services. And I don't think there's going to be a physical release anytime in the near future, just because I don't know who's listening. I know you listen to CDs probably still.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if you're in the majority on that.
I don't think so. No, I think it's a dwindling minority, but we're, you know, there's a few of us out there. Yeah.
And CDs don't have quite the sort of the cachet that vinyl pressings do. And I'd love to do a vinyl pressing, but those are also, you know, can be pretty costly. So at this point, it's just really important to me to make sure that it's out there. You can find me. It'll be on, you know, all the different streaming services, whichever one you choose to use. It'll be on, it'll be up on Bandcamp for free.
Cool.
It'll be on SoundCloud. So anywhere you listen to your music online, you can find it there.
Awesome. And then if people want to find out about upcoming shows and things like that, I mean, I assume that, you know, in the wake of this release, you're going to be probably out there at least a bit performing some of these songs live. What's the best way to keep track of where you're going and where you're playing there?
Well, Sam, you can always follow me on Instagram and you can follow me on social media. And it's these days, my social media is almost exclusively for music.
Cool.
I don't really know how to sort of document my personal life on social media. I've never been good at it. So that'll be there. And then I'm getting a little bit more active with things like Manitoba Music and stuff like that. So if you visit my Manitoba Music page, like we'll be putting announcements. I'll be putting announcements up there.
Cool.
I'm trying to do a little bit of promotion. I'm doing this. I've got an interview coming up later in the month and stuff like that. We've been playing a few of these songs with the Woke Mob. I've done a couple of shows with this band of mine, the Woke Mob. And we're playing these songs. We play different, not necessarily album versions of them.
Yeah.
Because it's just a group. We're just a group of guys with guitars and stuff. And so it's a different kind of energy than it is on the record. But the record is the record and the show is the show. And we have a big release show coming up on February 5th. We're playing with Blue Bloods, who are really cool and great. And a band called the Astronomics, who are really cool.
Yeah, I've seen them live. They're awesome, yeah.
Yeah. And so we're playing with them at Side Stage, and that'll be the official kind of release show party. Yeah, we'll be out before then. I think a single will be out in within a couple of weeks before that as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we'll be at Side Stage February 5th to do the official kind of grand opening.
Awesome.
For the record.
Well, if you're lost outside your head, come take a ride.